Hey, Sox fans, welcome to Good Guys Talk Back, a local fan-centric Chicago White Sox podcast, hosted by Nick Borowski and Pat Hester.
Sox fans, how about it? We got a sweep to talk about. Welcome back to Good Guys Talk Back. This is episode 270. I am Nick Morawski. This is a fan-centric Chicago White Sox podcast. We do this live on Sunday nights on our YouTube channel. Subscribe, like the channel, join us, jump in the comments. Want to hear all about if you were there on the South Side and how you're feeling about this team and the heroes that played a role in this three-game winning streak for the Chicago White Sox. Lots to get to, but also we're going to try to bring you back to reality as we like to do here on this podcast. With me, as always, my dear friend, my best friend, and my partner in crime for many years now. This is 270, Pat, episode 270. Just process that, how many hours we've spent talking about this team. But Pat Hester, hello, sir.
Hey, buddy. I am excited about the $75 million man, not Ted DiBiase, but our left fielder who decided to come and swing the stick this weekend. This is fantastic. It's finally bearing fruit. The largest contract in White Sox history is doing things that are productive, that are winning games. I'm excited.
Indeed. And you were there, and I want to hear about it. Hello to Peyton and John and Scott and Sydney, who I know was there, having a great time this weekend with some summer-like weather, a big giveaway. Our Chicago White Sox, hey, they are 6-22, but we're going to try to focus on the positives for a little bit here at the beginning. They are 13 games back in the AL Central. So last week when we were talking, they were 12 and a half games back. And, you know, they had a rough week in Minnesota, but they swept. But they're now 13 games back in the Central. That very forgiving AL Central, a run differential of minus 77, our Chicago White Sox. But that three-game sweep, Pat, of the Tampa Bay Rays, who came into the South Side, they were 500 in the AL East. And you mentioned Benintendi with a couple of home runs and six RBIs on Saturday. Six RBIs from this guy on Saturday, and a walk-off. And I want to talk about the home run call and Schifrin in a little bit. He continued to hit on Sunday. Tommy Pham, the magic man, huh? He comes to up to the White Sox, and things all of a sudden start trending in the right direction. Is he the missing the link, I should say, here with this team? Fetty, we'll get to some of that. But Pat, you were there on Saturday, right? Mm. It was the hockey jersey giveaway. Warm temps, windy, some threats of some showers, but all things went, I think, according to plan. And you were texting me before the game. You got there relatively early, and there were lots already filling up. And that hockey jersey is a popular jersey. And I think there was like a whiskey crawl or a beer crawl or something that happened before the game. So a lot of folks may be already there. But you said lines were crazy. I mean, did you have some electricity when you were up there at 35th and Shields?
Yeah, it felt like people were coming to see a team that people cared about, but they're there for a hockey jersey is really what they're there for. But that being said, it was a beautiful night at the ballpark. I showed up, you know, traffic was tough getting out. I had a pass for lot D, and so you got to, you know, shimmy your way through lot E, I think it is, and lot F was already filling up as I was pulling in. And there was long lines, you know how the stanchions out, and then the lines were going through the lot D area all the way back to the grass area, but where the, you know, the train tracks are at. It was a very happening night let's say, on the south side, Nick, and a good crowd on hand, a crowd that was into it.
29,000? Did you feel like it was 29,000?
Yes. Now, you did ask me the other day. We had talked on the phone briefly. You had asked me to count the fans, which I thought was an odd request. I'm on the phone with Nick. Just, we're going to pull back the curtain. And Nick said, I'd like you to count the fans. Now, I didn't ask everybody to stay seated and let me individually count them, but I would say it was all of 29,000, the lower bowl, I would say, was mostly full, and the corners too. That's how I kind of gauge it, Nick. If the corners are full, you know, you've got a pretty good crowd. It was hard for me from where I'm sitting to kind of see what was up.
You were in the elite area, right?
I don't schlep it. I sit in the suite when I go to camp. I don't sit with the commoner. So I don't know what was above me or what was happening out there. So really good crowd, fun night, great night. Ben Attendee comes through in the end. And you know me, and I've talked about it a lot. This team has got to be the worst team of all time in extra innings. And somehow, some way, after giving up basically a gift run in the top half of the inning, they come back and they win it on the home run of someone that you would think, first of all, the home run earlier was unlikely. Then again, to hit another one and win the game from Ben Attendee, a guy that has been caught in the crosshairs by a lot of the Sox fans lately, because a lack of hustle and the defense and the noodle arm and the lack of power, the lack of really anything productive. So for him as a person and a player, I was happy, personally happy for him to have something positive go his way. So a fun night at the ballpark, though. It's nice, Nick, to kind of, you can remove yourself from knowing what the record is in that one moment and go, this right here is fun. This moment is fun, right? Walk-off wins are fun on a beautiful summer-like evening and a good crowd, and you can feel the vibe in the ballpark, aside from, again, the wave that broke out, which I know, you know, catches the ire of a lot of people. But
I do want to talk about that in a moment, though, but keep going.
But I mean I was excited. So my first game of the year live and in person. So there's some things that you can look at, and just again, look at just that one game on Saturday night. You can go, you know, if the ball bounces our way, I'm not saying we're cutting back to 500. I'm not saying we're winning this division.
Here we go. We
probably shouldn't be as god awful as we are.
Absolutely.
Is that safe to say? This is probably a 15 game under 500 team, but I don't think they're as brutally bad as they've shown in the first month of the year. Is that fair to say?
No, that's an honest take. I think, though, you know, all of us that have been paying attention closely and watching what is been said and following the moves that have been made and the team that they've kind of constructed and how things have played out, we knew this was going to be a rough year. They wouldn't say it initially, of course. That was taboo to say rebuilding, but it's come around that way. You know, I we'll get into some of Getz's comments before this homestand and what he has kind of started to admit to, but you know, the lack of transparency and everything, but we knew it was going to be a rough year. I didn't think it was going to be, you know, as embarrassing as it's been, you know, just not only the production from certain individuals, but just, you know, all the stuff that they have not been able to do that they said they were going to do, you know, just the fundamentals and, you know, almost like hustling out wins. And, you know, we've got these gamers and we're going to be winning on the margins and all this stuff. And we're going to be surprising people. And we are really going to have a chip on our shoulder because people gave us a 0.0 whatever percent chance of getting into the postseason or beyond. So we're coming in ready, you know, and so, you know, coming into the weekend, 3 wins and now they're at 6 wins, but you're right. It just, you know, they are not going to be up there at the top, but, you know, and again, it's laughable, but I think they could have been, you know, 12 wins or something. And you look at a lot of the games that they've blown and just let completely go.
Or have lost by a run, right?
Sure.
I mean, the shutouts are one thing, but the games they've lost by one run is, you know, again, I'm not going to sit here and apologize for the team for the lack of success that they've had, but they honestly should be somewhat better than they are. Better than what their record is. It doesn't mean that they're going to be a good or contending ball club this year.
Yeah, some fun on Saturday night, some fun this weekend. Friday, kind of a sparse crowd, but it was a tough weather, tough weather. And it was an Apple TV Plus, and I was watching it, and man, it's a tough job to call MLB games. It really is. And if you're a national, somebody that's attached to Apple TV and you're having to call different teams on a weekly basis and trying to get caught up to speed, but I'm sorry, but it was a rough listen. It was a really rough listen. I don't know if anybody else felt this way. I should say watch and listen. We like the ending, but it just sounded like these two folks were, someone gave them some notes on the White Sox, about a half hour, 45 minutes before the game, and they tried to spit some stuff out, and they were kind of out of their element. Of course, the milkshake made an appearance. They definitely had to talk about the milkshake and spend a decent amount of time with that. But did you have a milkshake? Did you get this?
So I saw the gentleman with the fantastic jerseys, the Campfire Milkshake 2024 guys. I saw that.
You saw those? Yeah,
That was great, fantastic. I think it was hilarious, but I can't. It's a milkshake. I don't understand. It's a
campfire, though. It's a campfire milkshake. It's got its own commercial with, where they're toasting the marshmallows and everything.
Yeah, it's a milkshake, dude. I'm not going to go out of my way to spend $20 on a milkshake.
It's 50.
I need a milkshake for $20 like I need a hole in the face. So, no, I didn't.
How is that hockey jersey, though? What was this? Was it true?
Here's the thing I thought was funny about the hockey jersey. And I can't remember what era White Sox logo that is from. I think maybe it's a 70s. It's like a powder blue.
I think it's the 1968 when they did wear the powder blues and they had the blue hat with the white old English.
You know what it made me think of right away? We
Kansas
got something.
City Royals.
Yes. I'm like, this is that. I'm looking around, and it's like they're trying to infiltrate us now from the inside out. It's like, all right, let's start making them look like the Royals fans now. All right, here, everybody's wearing the jerseys. As soon as they get it on, listen, Nick, it's an extra large. I'm afraid to try it on. I may look like a milkshake. I might look like the Campfire Milkshake if I put that thing on. We're going to wait a little bit. We're going to see weigh-in day is in a couple days for me. I'm going to see how we're looking, and maybe we'll build up enough confidence to try on the XL hockey jersey.
So you had this lively crowd on Saturday, and you mentioned that a wave broke out. And I know there's a lot of, wringing of hands and anger on the wave. And I believe there are even shirts that are, kind of anti-wave. And, and I've kind of come around to it. It's like people just at this point just want to have a good time. It's Saturday night in Chicago. The Sox are, winning a ball game here, or whatever it was at that time. It's nice out. Everybody's hopped up on milkshakes and whatever kind of bar crawl was going on ahead of time. Everyone's wearing their hockey. Just have some fun. And if that's somebody's one game, for the summer, and they just, I've heard from a lot of people over the last couple of days, like they got little kids that they brought, and they're loving it. They're loving this wave going around in anticipation to see if it actually, if you want to do the wave, have some fun once in your life, get busy living or get busy dying, go ahead and do it. I don't care.
I have never understood I would never be the person to start a wave. Have you ever started a wave at a ball game?
Absolutely. I've started. Okay. When I was, in my 20s, when I was just a madman.
I thought I remember you starting a wave, but I didn't.
Absolutely. I was at the point where I was going row by row in my section, just like, okay, hey, we're all on board for the fifth inning. Just know, how I made it up and down those stairs after all of the alcohol that was consumed. I was not in the right frame of mind to start anything, but I'll tell you what, I got it started.
Yeah.
And it made it around the ballpark. And, I was a nut, and people are just out having a good time. And I don't know. Again, if it's something that gets people going and they're enjoying themselves for a 6-win team now, have at it.
I don't have as much problem with the wave as some people do. I've never understood why it's such a point of contention. It is what it is. If you don't want to participate in the wave, then you know, you don't have to. You don't have to stand up Southside for the wave. So that is it. It is what it is. I'm fine with the wave.
So Fetty was on the mound for the Sox. And I tell you what, man, this is the guy that, you know, got paid in terms of White Sox money this past offseason. And
he got paid in Comiskey cash is what you're saying?
Yeah, he's basically given a handful of Comiskey cash that's completely void. They're like, the trick is it's a treasure chest of Comiskey cash, but it's you can't really use it.
And anywhere. it's laced with incentives like, okay, if you can get this Comiskey cash, but it's going to be paid out over the next 100 years like Bobby Bonilla or something like that. That's amazing. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's a. He learned some things in the KBO. He you know, acquired some pitches or found a pitch that worked and all this other stuff. And, you know, he's a guy, you know, I was talking to Danny Miller about this before the season starts, and I'm sure the audio exists and it's on record. And this was on the Hot Takes and Heaters show through Future Sox. And we were going through some predictions. And I thought, you know, a team Cy Young could definitely be this guy. He's got something to prove. Folks passed up on him. Sox gave him some money. He, you know, didn't have a real good go at it his first time through in the MLB. Coming back, and, you know, he's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder. And so now his last two starts, now Twins and Rays, but Fetty combined 14 and a third innings, 3 runs allowed, 20 strikeouts, and what I love here, 0 walks. So is this a guy that they say, hey, we got another year on the contract. We want him beyond this year. This could, this could be something we want in our rotation. And again, it's early. Or if he continues this trend, is it see ya at the trade deadline? You know, we've got something now to flip.
It's interesting you say that, Nick, because if you look at the organization as a whole, and you look at what you have down in the minors, I think it's a top five system now, according to some sources, right? So at some point at some point you have to have a starting staff that you're going to have to be able to build around. So is there a point where you go, this is a guy that we want to have as a building block, or there's still other things that you still need to fill in with your system where you can say, well, we can sacrifice this. We're going to have to get pitching back for him in return anyway, but we still need to fill the void on X, Y, and Z. And this is a chip that we probably should push in the middle of the table. I would be of the former. And I would say, listen, if I've got a pitcher of this ilk, that's got the pedigree that he does and looking to prove something and looking to have a career in the major leagues and maybe he's motivated and I can kind of build around him, that I think that's okay. I don't have a problem with that. To me, at some point, Getz has got to look at it and go, this is the year that's going to be the worst year of you know, this quote unquote rebuild that we have. And next year we need to take a step, because I don't think they want to look at this as a 5-year rebuild type of thing. I think they're more like in the 3-year type of thing before they're contending. So to me, It's a guy that I want around, you know, for next year and be part of my staff.
So sooner or later, I got to see the Sox actually spend some serious money on pitching. I think John, if you're in the chat, you made a comment to me on social media. Just, you know, he said, hey, Fetty's looking great. And I was like, well, yeah, this could be somebody though that gets moved. You know, it could be a key asset if you're looking to acquire some more bodies in this rebuild. And he said, and I agree with him, like, I just want the Sox to start paying for pitching. Like, just pay for pitching. We've been saying it for a long time. Everybody talks about it. Like, when is that going to happen? When you're serious about paying for pitching. And I'm not necessarily saying Fetty's the guy that I really want to get, you know, sign him, you know, make sure you lock up Fetty. It's the point of it. Mm-hmm. You got to have that. It's something that they didn't really do. There's a lot of things they didn't do in the most recent rebuild that failed. That was one of them. Didn't go after premium pitching. Tried, quote unquote, tried. Wheeler's, I think, girlfriend got in the way of that. But, you know, that's got to change. That has to change. It's been a Reinsdorf problem for a long, long time. So Yeah, John, you know, change the narrative. He's got it right here. I mean, that has been a narrative that we all talk about. And that would, boy, that would really mean a lot if they could start putting some serious money towards the rotation. This is what.
Well, that would be interesting, Nick, if they did, because that would show me that maybe Getz has a different voice and, you know, that maybe he can reach Reinsdorf and say, listen, we're never going to get to where we want to go unless we do this. Obviously the past regime wasn't able to do that or didn't want to do that. It wasn't interested in, paying for pitchers. We'll see what Getz's philosophy is. And if he can win over, his owner and sell him on the idea of this is the way, you know, baseball has been and always will be. It's one with your starting staff. And then obviously, you still need to have a great bullpen to support that. But I don't know if that narrative changes under Jerry Reinsdorf, but we'll see with this new leadership and Chris Getz.
Speaking of leadership, our fearless leader, Pedro Grifol, this is what he had to say about Fetty's performance. A big-time gutsy performance by Fetty. It wasn't just the pressure of going out and winning a major league game. Our bullpen was in bad shape for him to go out and do what he did and set up like that was tremendous. And yeah, he almost had a complete game. We almost had a complete game, believe it or not, by a member of the Chicago White Sox in 2024. So that was huge. Now, reality here, 12 for 46 with runners in scoring position throughout the series. Again, Sox swept the Rays, but a bigger picture, Sox 29th in the hitting department, second to last in walks. That's second to last in all of baseball in walks as a team. Tied for last in home runs, and 29th in the pitching department. Team ERA is north of 5. So maybe you know things are going to start trending a little bit. You got Minnesota and then St. Louis, Pat. I mean, do you feel like these were some foundational building blocks? Do you think this was just, hey, teams get on a heater? It's going to happen where they go on a run. Or is there maybe something that's flipped?
You know, I don't see them going on some type of crazy run here where they rattle off 10 in a row or anything like that. That'd be a little bit crazy. I think their next six games are winnable games, though. I mean, the Minnesota Twins and the St. Louis Cardinals, this version of them, is not going to put the fear of God in anybody right now. So these are winnable games for them that they should be at least be able to compete in. You're not competing against the Phillies when you're playing in Philadelphia. That's just a team on a different trajectory. That's on a different plane from what you're at, right? That's high school kids playing against 8U kids. I mean, that's just what it was. You might have a little bit better of a showing here. You might actually go out and win one of these series. I'm not going to go crazy and think that they're going to continue on the streak that they're on currently. But these are games that you could look at and go, yeah, we can compete with these teams. There's no reason why we can't. They're not juggernauts by any means. So I'd like to think it would be, you know, the guys got to be feeling good, right? The guys have to just finally go, my goodness, that feels good to have some
things
win.
Unlocked. Yeah, sure.
It'd be nice for them, and you know, maybe the obsession has finally gotten taken care of. The man that's obsessed with everything is finally pushing the right buttons and making the right, calls. I don't know, but
I think it was just kind of right place, right time. It just, you know, it's just something, you know, it's going to happen. You know, this wasn't going to exactly trend this way. They weren't going to lose a million games, you know, something like they were on pace for some crazy, like what, 24 wins or something. That wasn't going to happen. You're going to go on these streaks, you know, the grand scheme of things, you know, any simple metric search, any number digging, you're going to see the real story here is just, you know, that happens, but I don't know if it's going to flip completely, you know, and go the other way for a while. Now you're seeing Minnesota that you just saw previously, you know, you might be able to better prepare. I got something. This is really interesting. I saw this. This was from Aaron Gleeman. I saw this on social media and Twitter X covering the Minnesota Twins. And this was, I think, after maybe the second or third game of the most recent Twin Sox series. Sacks, of course, swept in a four-game series against the Twins. And this was what Aaron Gleeman put out. The Twins struggle so much versus off-speed pitches that teams stopped throwing them fastballs, but not the White Sox, who threw 39%. I'm sorry, 69% and 66% fastballs the past two games. So it was the first two games of the series. Twins saw higher fastball rates just once all year, and he finished his post with the White Sox are earning their record. So, I mean, that goes with the whole analytical thing and the lack of bodies that are in the organization and whatever kind of numbers, whatever kind of stats, whatever package is being put together for the organization, the, you know, the manager, the bench coach, the staff to use that can explain this and talk about it with players to better prepare them from a series. I thought that was just a good way of kind of shining a light on why things also are trending in the bad direction for the Sox.
Yeah, that's no doubt. Yeah, but I mean, it should be a game plan that's discussed with Katz and your catcher and whoever your starting pitcher is and the rest of the staff that day or prepping for the entire weekend or the entire series rather. I mean, again, to me, this is an Ethan Katz issue. Am I wrong about that? I mean, again, I don't want to always come on here and attack Ethan Katz. I just don't know really what he's providing. And I think that
what
he
gets would you say you'd do here, Ethan. Yeah.
Well, that to me is he's the one, he's the pitching coach. He's the one that should be prepping his guys for that series and making sure that the catchers are in tune with the pitchers and understanding how to attack a team. That's where your game plan for the series should be coming from. Am I wrong?
You know, I don't think you're wrong. You know, I think there's other stuff going on behind the scenes. And I think at the end of the day, it's lack of bodies. Like they don't staff those roles in comparison to other teams that are traditionally more successful. The White Sox almost have that attitude of, no, we don't need those roles. We don't need those positions. We don't really need to focus on that kind of stuff. And then you think like, well, it might not really matter, but then there's these things that happen like this situation with the Twins of how do you not know that, you know, how do you not kind of attack and look at that and the trends and have a game plan going forward? So
unless it's like, okay, listen, this is what they do really well, but it doesn't really jive with what we do well, right? We're not going to get many guys out. This is not pitching to our strength. So rather than trying to attack their weakness, we're going to have to, you know, go with what our strength is, and that's throwing fastballs. I have no idea, but I'm just curious if that maybe was the case. It's like, listen, we're gonna lose situation because we can't throw a bunch. We're gonna walk the world if we do that. We need to be in the strike zone and let them, you know, beat us in the strike zone, and they did. So yeah. All right, we'll see if it changes though for the next.
This series will be interesting to watch. This will be very interesting to watch. It's like what did you learn from the past series against the Twins? Did you do your homework? How are you approaching this differently? Because then we're talking about a week's time, 5 days, yeah, something like that, that they saw each other. So it'll be something definitely to watch. Somebody who's got a game plan, John Schriffen, the new play-by-play guy this year. Everybody's got an opinion about this guy. His catchphrase, stand up, Southside stand up. You've heard this, Pat, right? And it was on display after Benintendi's walk-off on Saturday. He was talking about all kinds of excited. He was amped. I mean, he was jacked. And you know, a lot of people, you know, giving him a hard time, you know, that he gets kind of trying to manifest excitement throughout this really rough season. And, you know, trying to maybe create something that's just not there and it seems artificial. But I mean, this guy is just trying to get better at his craft. I mean, this is really his first, you know, year as a Major League Baseball play-by-play guy for one team, especially, you know, doing this. It's a really rough season. I think he's just trying to create some kind of excitement. And I totally understand where Sox fans are coming from because I have felt this way, which is why I sympathized with Hawk. He kind of felt like how I felt when they were losing. You know, he was dejected. He was down. He didn't talk. He was cranky. He was, you know, to say the least. And I think maybe there's a lot of folks, I don't know, that just want that from Schriffen too, of be crotchety, be very critical, be, and I think Schriffen's just trying to stay positive, you know, trying his best. And it is difficult to manifest it. It really is. It feels like you might be trying a little too hard with now a 6-win team, but you know, I don't know. Southside stand up. It's not really, you know, hey, he's trying something. That's his thing. Whether he sticks with it forever, I don't know, but he was jacked on that walk off. I don't know if you went back and you watched it several times, but man, he was extremely excited.
Yeah. I mean, I went back and I heard it because I saw a lot of people tweeting about it that, you know, whether saw a lot of people liked the call. I get it. It does seem a little bit like over the top for a team that's won 6 games, but I think I look at it from the perspective of, listen, this guy has all the people in the production, whether it's on the TV side or the radio side, the people that are doing pre and post, the people that are doing, you know, production and getting these games on the air every day for a team that's this awful. And a lot of times, you know, when they're at home, you know, and because of bad weather or what have you, in front of sparse crowds, there's not a lot of energy in the ballpark, or you're going on the road and you're getting your brains beat in. I mean, listen, I would say let the guy have a little bit of fun, right? Let him like say, boy, this is a great opportunity with a big crowd on hand and a walk-off home run. I'm just going to let myself go a little bit. And that's, I'm cool with that because that's gotta be a hard gig. You did a daily podcast for a team that was extremely disappointing, which I know was a great burden on you to produce and put it out there and try and find things to talk about on a day in and day out basis with a team that's extremely frustrating. And you're, you know, one of the most passionate Sox fans I know. So, I would imagine it's got to be difficult to be up there for, you know, you're talking about a 2.5-3 hour game, plus all the stuff pre and post, the meetings that you have and the preparation that you have. And you just want to go out there and have fun with what you do. And you finally get an opportunity to do it this year. You know, I let your hair down a little bit, John Schriffen. I'm good with that. It does seem a little bit over the top, but I'm not going to criticize him for it. He's trying to find his voice and trying to find, you know, what works, and he might be tinkering with some things. Who knows if Southside stand up will be the thing that sticks. I don't know. But good on him for trying. I've got no problem with it.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I think he's going to grow on me. You know, I'm happy for him. It's difficult, man. You know, when you're doing something like this and he can lean on Stone and get some expertise from him. But when you're the fuel is this team, like this is the thing that's going to kind of propel you, you know, because when you've got a really great team and things are constantly fun, you kind of just ride that wave, right? I don't want to say it's easy. Your job is easy, but you just almost try to not get in the way. Because you've got this thing going on that's being played out that, you know, you almost doesn't need a script. It doesn't need any words when things are going. When it's going bad, I think you want to try to explain it or over-explain it. And he probably has gotten a lot of direction from his higher ups based on, you know, the predecessor and everything. But I'm fine. You know, have some fun, try to find it. He's working things out, and what a season to work things out in, you know, it's like, there's kind of no pressure all the way around. And I think that at the end of the day, I think he's going to grow on more people than lose people. I think.
Yeah. I mean, you and I are always going to be, I think, you know, I don't want to speak for you, but maybe a little bit of a tougher critic on the broadcasters that, you know, are calling our favorite teams because, you know, of who we grew up listening to and watching.
You have your favorites.
And just because, you know, Hawk was and always will be my favorite doesn't mean it was everybody's favorite. And towards the end, it was pretty bad. It had gotten pretty bad. It wasn't the best call in the world. So you're always going to, you know, grade everybody with that kind of in mind, I think. And it's like, okay, it's not, you can put it on the board. Yes. It's not stretch. It's not all the fun stuff that Hawk used to say. Or
yet. Yet. I mean, yeah. He might find some of those eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's room for him to grow. I can't really criticize him for getting excited about, finally having something to be excited about.
Yeah. He's going to have maybe Brad Keller very soon to get excited about. How about that? Do you ever think you'd see Brad Keller in a Sox uniform? Baroa has been called up. Cannon sent to AAA, shaky start this past weekend. I mean, I like what I've seen out of Cannon. We talked about him recently, I think even last week. I like his stuff. I think he's going to figure it out. I don't know. Something about, his pitch arsenal, how they use these guys, how they're bouncing them back and forth is kind of interesting. Especially with this type of year and really what the end goal is, I want to see Cannon getting experience. If he's ready to be getting the experience at the big league level, if he's going to factor into a 2025 rotation, I don't need to see Brad Keller. I don't need to see Mike Clevenger at this year. I'd like to see the younger guys, and if they have to wear it, they absolutely have to wear it. But that's part of the process.
Yeah.
When you're starting out, it just is. So, and I think he'll be back. He'll see more time with the big league club, but there's been a lot of different moves here and there. Davey Garcia DFA'd. He's been not good. I think you can say that officially in the most specific and technical terms.
I like that analysis. Nick, what would you say your analysis of this player is? Not good. Just that's it.
Yeah.
You can't break it down any better than that.
Yeah. So we got, we heard from Chris Getz at the beginning of this homestand against the Rays, as general managers, tend to do at the beginning of a homestand. Han sometimes towards the end of his tenure would be a little absent. And, I guess I don't blame him. And I think he saw the writing on the wall. But as Chris Getz took the reins, or basically said yes when Jerry said, "I want you to be GM," and Chris Getz said, "Me? Really? Okay. Like, why are you going to turn that job down?" And he probably thought to himself, "Well, I don't know how to really work this," but he started spinning things about competing in 2024. This could be a quick flip. We're in the AL Central. All this stuff. Said everything besides rebuild. Right. Stayed away from that term in the fall and throughout the off season. But, you and I knew, everybody, watching and listening, you've been following the Sox for a while. You saw what was going on. We knew it was going to be a rebuild. We knew it was going to be difficult by the roster that they were constructing. It was just, please be transparent with us. Just come out and say it. Just say it. Get it out of the way. Rip the Band-Aid off. Just tell us it's going to be a rebuild. We can figure it out. We can handle it. Not going to be happy. We're still going to be dejected and pissed and have our, our opinions and thoughts, but just come out and say it. And it hasn't really at all been said. And now I think just recently, as like maybe Friday morning or Friday afternoon, whenever he talked to the media, it's finally starting to come out. He's finally starting to lean in and admit to it. So, we still had to talk about this. How it started, this is kind of how it all went with Reinsdorf, talking about why he, brought in Chris Getz. So this is King Jerry. The conclusion I came to is what we owe our fans and ourselves is not to waste any time. We want to get better as fast as we possibly can. If I went outside, it would have taken anybody at least a year to evaluate the organization. I could have brought Branch Rickey back. still have to just pause after that. It would have taken him a year to evaluate the organization. So Jerry back then, and we all
back to life.
Right. Got to bring him back to life.
He's long dead, right? Branch Rickey. Right.
Classic reference by Jerry.
Does Jerry just walk up like Jesus did to Lazarus and he says, "Branch Rickey, come out.
Come out and evaluate."
Comes out of the tomb, and then he can evaluate the team.
It obviously, we knew cheapest, Chris Getz, easiest Chris Getz. Jerry Reinsdorf are extremely lazy in how he does things. Just Chris Getz got kicked up to the general manager. And again, we argued, like, look, if you bring in a proven general manager, somebody that has had experience and success, it's not going to necessarily take them that long. They know where to look immediately. They know how to evaluate. They've done it before. You might need some time getting to know the actual person and the people and that kind of stuff. But how to put this thing together, where to go, maybe even what to say, you know, it's not your first rodeo. So now we're getting to more of, like, you know, rubber meets road here, the reality. And this is Getz just a couple days ago. I get it. We're here to win games at the major league level. But you've got to look at the foundation of the organization. You've got to look at every department. I've just got to focus on how to get us better and get this organization healthy. I've got to have a big picture mindset, because this wasn't going to be a quick fix by any stretch. So there it is. You know, there's the reality. There's finally somebody's. This should all have been said back in August or September. Okay. Your boss told us it was going to be a quick fix. Like, you know, I don't have time to sit around. And Getz, of course, now saying, look, this is going to take a while. And we all knew it, though. You know, we've all, of course, knew it. So it's not necessarily news, but it's news that it's actually being said and put in print.
I'll never understand why teams, and this isn't exclusive to the Chicago White Sox, I just don't understand why teams are so hesitant to call anything a rebuild. It's like, oh, well, but don't say rebuild. We might not sell as many tickets. I think that's a lot of BS, in my opinion. I think when Rick came out and said this is going to be a rebuild, and there was an actual plan, and people can accept it. I could accept it, and I think you could accept it too. Like, listen, guys, I'm going to be honest with our fan base. We want to bring a winner here. This is the plan that we have. It's probably going to take 4 to 5 years. And the first year or two is probably going to be the worst of it. We're going to get through that, but we're going to continue to build our system. We saw the failings of the last rebuild. Our hope is that when we get to the point where, you know, we are in the opportunity to win, we're going to pivot and do things a little bit differently. We want to be a little more bullish on not holding on to, you know, on bringing in things that we need and getting rid of things that we have access of. Just because we like guys doesn't mean we're going to keep guys. Whatever it is, however you want to lay it out, I think fans are just so craving some sort of honesty, number one. And number two, just tell us what the plan is. Lay it out for us so we can understand, so we can be with you on the journey and not question where we're at all the time. And then also, you know, what I'd like teams to look at and do and say is, like, this is the plan, but if we have an opportunity maybe to accelerate that timeline, accelerate that plan by infusing some sort of free agency into our a ball club that can maybe get us from, you know, point B to C quicker, then we're going to do that too. We're going to look at all options. But in reality, without doing that, it's going to take X amount of years, and this is how we're going to go about doing it.
Yeah, I would have been, not to say I would have been fine, but I would have been able to stomach it. Like, just if you just were honest. And you know, I get it. Tickets need to be sold. You know, season ticket packages need to be re-upped. Sponsors, maybe. A stadium had to be begged for by Jerry. You know, all of these things were playing. And at that critical time when, you know, you get asked and hounded, like, hey, are you going to re-up? And like, well, maybe I am going to re-up because Getz is talking about a quick fix. Jerry wants this thing turned around quickly. We're still in the Central. I don't know, but you know, I kind of saw through that, as I know so many other people did. You're going to retain Grifol without even doing a search. You know, this is the grand plan for your offseason of kind of like, you know, trying to, you know, build on gamers and TW guys. And we all saw what kind of money they spent and who they brought in. It wasn't going to happen this year. Yeah. It just wasn't, you know, so why it's now being said, I don't guess it's the reality. you know, like, oh, this, and this was going into the weekend where Getz is like, oh, well, we've only won three games. I guess I got to finally, I got to finally admit to all of you that this wasn't going to take, you know, this wasn't going to be a quick fix. This is going to take some serious time and trying to push us into the direction of the minors and the young players. But we all knew that kind of already.
Yeah.
You know, we've been paying attention to this team. So, hey, after saying all that, I'll still believe it when I see it. You know, it's great that you finally said it. I wish you would have said it a long time ago. But still, you've got to put a product together. Just because you're saying it doesn't get me all kinds of excited and, you know, Southside stand up and, you know, show me. Absolutely show me. And, you know, you could even put out a plan, but until you deliver on that plan and really aggressively go after certain pieces this offseason, whatever monies you have, which it'll be there. The money will be there, you know, and how you're purposefully going about things and addressing certain, you know, man, growing edges and blind spots, I'm still going to be very skeptical.
Yeah, it's again, there's going to be a lot to watch with Chris Getz here over the next, you know, several years and how he goes about this. And if he's, you know, how he's going to, you know, reimagine and reshape this club for the future. And if it's going to be, you know, a success, it may take, you know, it may take some shrewd moves here or there. It may take, you know, moving on from guys. He's already done it. He's already moved on from some guys that were, you know, seemingly fan favorites. So, you know, will there be more like that to come? Possibly.
Some of the moves are just, you know, I got to shake, I just, you know, shake my head and question, you know, they option Fletcher, Dominic Fletcher, who they got from Arizona for Mania, Christian Mania, right? A promising arm, I would guess, you know, talking to some folks like, you know, Ian and Danny and all the future Sox people that, They've really been invested in this for several years. You know, Sox do not go spend for pitching. So you're hoping that comes through your pipeline. And I don't know exactly how quickly or what they thought exactly of Mania, but that was like big, like, oh, we're going to get Fletcher here, who's going to shore up the defense, a left-handed bat that we're going to have on a daily basis. And things are clearly not going the way they wanted it to go. You gave up Mania for this guy, and he's optioned. You DFA Pilar, which, again, why was even Pilar on the team? But it was being pushed down our throats by folks of, hey, this guy plays the game the right way. This is going to be a leader. This is going to be a gamer. You want these guys. You want this. They're going to play to the acronym FAST. This is how we're going to be different. This is how we're going to change things. You know, and he's DFA'd to really make room for Tommy Pham. But you and I talked on the phone about what it's like to be DFA'd by the White Sox right now. And even after this this nice little three-game winning streak here, it's kind of like a blessing, right? You know, when the Sox say, hey, we're designating you for assignment. Now, the problem is you might clear, and then you've got a decision to make. You know, like, am I going to have to sign up with your your triple A, or, you know, really kind of take a gamble? But I would feel like, thank you for just letting me go and go find something else. Cause this is not at all. And I think Pilar even came out and talked about it, right? He was with the Braves most recently and he's like, night and day. This is kind of not what I anticipated.
Yeah. I compared it to like one of those employees that, is really kind of checked out of their job and they don't want to quit. And they're just hoping and praying that they get fired so they can get some type of severance package. And they let you go and you go, oh, now I can breathe a little bit easy here and go out. Thank you very much for letting me go, because I really wanted to be out of here anyway. So, the moves are, continue to happen. Some of them are head scratchers. And some of them are like, how come it took this long?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think maybe that's Getz just learning the job. I mean, it wasn't confident maybe to make those decisions a while ago.
Getz is here to do, you know, he should be fast tracking things. He shouldn't be learning on the job. The reason
why he's here
is anybody else would have had to take a whole year to try and figure out how to be a general manager of the Chicago White Sox. And right now, it's a good thing we have Chris Getz, because, you know, I don't think we'd have 6 wins without him. We may be at like 1 or 2 wins if it wasn't for Chris Getz's leadership as our general manager.
That's the other point that always got me, is he might know the players and he might know the organization and everything and know all the stuff that he did in his previous role. And, you know, but he's never done this job before.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of communicating with executives around the league and trying to navigate his way during this critical period, really. You know, it's not like this is a machine. The White Sox have just been having some winning ways, and Hahn decided to retire, and Williams was going to take a retirement too. It's like, hey, this job's been too easy. Sox are in good shape. We're just going to get out of here. Getz, go ahead and just keep this thing going. Sox are at a crossroads here.
Yeah.
And to put somebody that's brand new into this, I think he's now saying, like, well, I got to come clean, man. This, you know, this is going to take a long time.
I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
This is going to take a long time. So
you and I, Pat, before the season started, we made a bet on the Sox winning the Central. We're insane. You know, you and I are crazy. So many other people are crazy, you know, and watching this team, but we're all in it together. And we said 3,500 to 1 or whatever it was, plus 3,500 to win the Central. Okay, we'll put ten bucks each. We'll put 20 bucks on, and it was a handsome little payout, you know. And obviously, we've seen how things have gone. So my brother, who helped me, you know, he's got the app and everything. He put the
You and I are the last two men sports fans on the planet don't have a betting app. Neither one of us do. So we have to go to outside people that have apps.
I just feel like I have an addictive personality, and I would just be a maniac if I had a gambling app. It would just be not good at all. So I have to go. I have to go through. It's like Seinfeld, where Kramer, you know, he's done, and he's got to have Jerry make bets for him or whatever. So I had my brother make the bet. And he checked in with me, as family members have been checking in with me. Friends and family members have been checking in recently, just almost my well-being. They're like, where's your mental health at? Seriously, because they know how, you know, invested I am. Like, are you still watching? And I've only missed probably 3 or 4 games. It's always on. I'm always watching, and I catch up if I don't watch live. So I'm in it, but my brother, who made the bet, said, hey, you know what? You can cash out. You want to cash out? We could get you 61 cents. We get you 61 cents right now if you want to cash out.
61. I think we should have gotten it when we had the opportunity, the 61 cents.
It's probably split. 63 now, maybe 64. I don't know.
We wait till it's an even number so we can get split it up equally between us. I mean, we've got a golf trip coming up, Nick. We could use those dimes as ball markers or something. I mean, we could put it to use. 61 cents. It's a tough economy. I could use another 61 or 30 cents anyway in my bank account.
I think I'm going to let it ride. Is that crazy? I'm just going to let this ride. I'm not cashing out. I'm not interested in cash, especially after this weekend. Sox are back. Sox are absolutely back for now. Until tomorrow, or maybe the next day. So I'm gonna ride this wave.
Well, it's kind of sad, but it is what it is. Yeah, I'm with you, man.
I think we might net like $350, $400 or something if they do win the Central. And I think you said you were gonna buy a Pedro Grifol jersey. A custom made, you know, we're gonna go to Grandstand and get you fitted for a Pedro jersey. I don't know what I would possibly do with that.
I'll tell you what I'll do. If the Sox did come back, and this is being recorded, and we can always go back, if they did find a way to come back and win this division, I will not only just wear the Pedro Grifol jersey, I'll wear the pants, I'll wear the spikes, I'll wear the hat, and I'll get a tattoo that says, I love Pedro Grifol on my arm.
Can I design it? Can I design it?
Yeah, you can use the obsessed picture that you have that you're always putting on Facebook and put obsessed. It right on my arm.
If you put Pedro's mug with obsessed, that would be great. I would give you my share of the money, and I would say, go get that tattoo.
That's what I'm willing to do for this team and for all our fans and the fans of this team, that if they come back and find a way to win this division, I will get a Pedro Grifol, because he's going to be the manager of the year, Nick.
Oh, realize that situation.
In this situation,
he's a man on fire, man, right now. He is all in. I got some interesting Pedro Grifol quotes towards the end of this episode that we'll get to. But Mailman Jack, I posted his comment here on our YouTube feed. He said, what if my brother just, put the money in his pocket and just said he made the bet, but just hands us $20 at the end of the season?
And just gives it back.
Would we be upset or would we be grateful?
Well, I'd be terribly upset. If they won and he didn't place the bet, I mean, I'm giving him a leather shampoo. I mean, I'm humbling this gentleman. You ever heard that term before?
No, that's a new one for me.
That's so it comes from a boxer that leather gloves and you punch him in the head. It's a leather shampoo.
A leather shampoo. That sounds interesting. I mean, I know my brother won't know that term. So,
he's a very learned man. He's an architect after all.
Yeah. I think I would just be, even if the Sox finish, just the on track of how they're going to finish, I would be pretty upset. Even if he handed me the $20, I'd say, you had no faith. You got no faith in this team. You thought that was a mistake. Who are you to tell me what mistakes are? Wow. I will make my own mistakes. Don't be big brother my bets. You know, even if you thought that was a dumb bet, make the bet. That's what I asked you to do. And now I've lost all trust.
He can't be big brother. He's little brother.
Exactly. So maybe there will be, leather shampoo. What was it? A leather shampoo?
Yeah, leather shampoo.
Yeah.
He's in a world of hurt if he didn't really place the bet. In my mind.
I don't know if people put bets on Martin Maldonado. I hope they didn't, but he's been absolutely, he's been brutal, absolutely brutal, but he went yard. He's got a home run now, to his credit.
Yeah.
I still, Grifol, this is what Grifol said about Corey Lee's workload. It's going to be inconsistent. This is, how Lee or Grifol thinks of Lee. Sometimes he'll play 3 out of 4. Sometimes he'll play 2 out of 4. Sometimes he might play 1 out of 4. It all depends how he's coming along on his development and the things that he's got to work on. So it's kind of like chicken egg there. I would like to still see way more Corey Lee. Happy for Martin Maldonado. He got his home run, but I'm done with the Martin Maldonado experience.
Yeah, one more home run than Jose Abreu, unless Jose went deep today. I'm not sure if he did, but maybe we get the better player on our team now. I'm with you. In a season like this, there's no reason to be playing, old veterans just because you like what the fingers that he puts down. That to me, that makes no sense. If you really want to develop a guy that's going to be, seemingly part of your future, you play him 70% of the time, right? And you're obviously catchers are going to get more days off than regular, guys in the field. But to me, you've got to give him 70% of the games. It just, to me, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll see how Pedro wants to work it, but hey, that's great. You got your home run. I think someone put it in the chat. I didn't have time to put it on the screen here. Maldonado's got more home runs than Andrew Vaughn. I mean, that's insane. One to zero. One. I mean, that's just still like you wrap your brain around some of those metrics. So you got Minnesota and St. Louis up next. I think the Sox win another series. I think they win a series against Minnesota. and I think they get swept by St. Louis. That would be tough for your family dynamic, but that's just a guess.
No, that won't happen. I say they, I don't think they win either series, but I think they win a game in each. How's that?
Hey, that's something. You got to,
well, they might win one out of four, or they might win two out of four, or they might win three out of three. Yeah. I'll use Pedro speak there.
Oh, speaking of Pedro speak, are you ready for some Pedro quotes of the week here? Quotes, because I've
got two. That was it. I thought that we already gave it with the
I'll give you a tease at the beginning, but I've got some more. I've got some leather shampoos here towards the end.
I wish I had a seatbelt on this chair for this part of the show, or like for a roller coaster ride that wouldn't fit over my fat ass anyway. Just to come down and get ready for the quote of the week. I just get so pumped. For it.
A couple things about me: I don't fit in roller coasters properly, and I cannot fit into stadium giveaway hockey jerseys. Hi, I'm Pat Hester.
Nice to meet you. Good thing I don't have to date anymore. They got them taken. That'd be the worst.
Well, you wouldn't lead with that. You wouldn't lead with that.
Do you want to go out on a roller coaster? No, I normally don't fit in them, so that would be not a good date for me.
Would you like this extra stadium giveaway? It's a hockey jersey.
Never. I will look like a State Puff Marshmallow Man. That wouldn't be good for me either. How about we just go to the Old Country Buffet?
I don't even think it exists anymore.
No, it's got it somewhere. Somewhere on this planet, Old Country Buffet exists. Anyway, go ahead.
Here's your first Pedro Grifol quote of the week. This is Grifol on staying positive after 3-19. Way back when that was happening this past week. Today we got our ass kicked. You go home and you reflect, and tomorrow is a new day. You can only learn from today, and then tomorrow you start the day, and that's it. The day is over. So what I loved about that quote is he was explaining to all of us how a day works, how a new day works, and how that happens. When you go to sleep, you wake up, and you have a new day, and you enter. It's a new day.
And boom.
So he's always thinking, you know, he's always trying to keep you on your toes, and he didn't even want to talk about the game and the inner workings of the game. It's just more of, this is how you should think about starting a new day. And if you were confused on this whole time and like, how does everything work? Like, well, it's simple. It's just, tomorrow's going to be a new day. You go to bed and then boom, there you go. You wake up and everything's all over again. So
it's a shame that he wasn't didn't live in ancient Greece with the philosophers and, you know, sitting around talking about, you know, thoughts. I think he would have really had some people, you know, giving him for a run for the money. Honestly.
People would be very, I think they would study him. They would have studied him and tried to really understand how and why.
They were just walking around. I think, I don't know how a day starts. You know how today starts? I'm not really sure. And then here comes Pedro. Guys, this is how it goes.
Yeah. You start to tomorrow. You just are going to start a new day. You just started. And then you live that day. And then there's going to be another one you'll start. And you see what happens.
And do they repeat? Does it happen again?
It does, guys. It absolutely does.
Holy moly. I'm blown away.
Here is your second and last Pedro Grifol quote of the week. This was from this past Thursday. I can only control the things I can control. That to me is coming to the ballpark, preparing this club to play a game and win a game. I can tell you I've had conversations, good conversations with Chris Getz, and I've had conversations with Jerry. Not about job or job security or anything like that. So what is he talking to Jerry about? That's the million-dollar question. Nothing about job security. We're just talking. We're just talking. Is he talking about the new season of Jinx on HBO? Are they getting into books that they've read? Maybe Jerry's asking him about the new day philosophy. It's like, I read something in the paper about you've unlocked something about how a day starts and you can break things down. But it's not about his job. He feels like he is safe and he is going to be the man for the job.
What would anybody want to talk to their boss about when they've got three wins? I mean, that's got to be no. You can't tell me it's not about job security. He's so either he's a flat out liar or he's just delusional. I mean, you think you're not evaluated and you're just safe with the type of performance that they have. So I love both of them. He is quite a speaker. He's so lucid with his thoughts. It's just wonderful. Every week you obviously you don't get paid enough for what you bring to this show and the preparation and combing through the pages and pages of Pedro Grifol quotes, come up with the best of the best. My hat's off to you, sir.
I appreciate that. It is a labor of love. I could be repaid by just simply subscribing to the Good Guys Talk Back channel, liking it, passing it along to other Sox fans. Man, we had some great chat here on this live show. Thank you to everybody jumping in. Love your thoughts. Love the opinions. Add to the conversation. It means a lot. You guys are fueling this fan-centric podcast and have been for so many years as we are wrapping up here. Episode 270. It's still crazy. But hats off to you, all of you, for jumping in here and a 6-22 team. But this is our passion. This is our sickness, maybe, whatever. This is Sox therapy. You know, we want to rub shoulders with like-minded people. Misery loves company. But on this night, we celebrate the sweep of the Rays, and the Sox go into the work week on a high note. We are on Twitter X at Good Guys TB. We've got a Facebook fan page. You can find the audio absolutely everywhere, wherever you find your podcasts. And of course, we've got that YouTube channel. Do this live on Sunday nights at 9:15. Hey, for Pat Hester, I am Nick Morawski. Until next time, go Sox!